Well, good afternoon. My name is Cheryl Bradley, and I'm your moderator for today's session of the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. I want to welcome our audience here at Erickson's Restaurant, as well as our TV audience on Shaw TV. There's just a few housekeeping things before I introduce our speaker for today. We're going to have a lunch, and we ask that everyone put $8 in the baskets on the table. Whether you have a lunch or not, we need to pay Erickson's for the just being present at the meeting. So please, during the lunchtime, do that at some point. I'd like to acknowledge our partners. SACPA has been running for 35 years, and we've had some very loyal partners through those years, including Shaw TV, Erickson's Restaurant, who comes up with a great lunch no matter how many people appear, the University of Lethbridge, and the Lethbridge Herald. Now, the format of the meeting is that there will be a 20 to 25 minute presentation. Then we'll have 30 minutes of lunch to discuss hopefully what we've heard, some of the ideas that have given us food for thought, and then a 30-minute question and answer period. Our speaker for today is Myron Wolfchild. Myron's a third-year student at the University of Lethbridge working towards a law degree. He's recipient of the Bill Chapman Students' Union Certificate of Distinction. Myron ran as an independent candidate in the federal riding of McLeod. And on January 23rd this year, he achieved his goal of receiving over 1,000 votes. He has a dream of one day being elected to the House of Commons and making the world a better place for Aboriginal youth. Myron has served on numerous youth organizations throughout the province, and he helped establish several successful First Nation groups in southern Alberta. He encourages youth to pursue their dreams. In the first decades of his life, Myron has addressed not only many audiences in our community, but also world leaders at the United Nations. Please give me join me in giving Myron a warm welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's such a... Can you hear me? Is it? I don't know if this microphone is... It's such a pleasure, both a pleasure and an honor to speak to such an audience today. I would ask one thing. I don't know if this would be appropriate, but I recently lost a great uncle. Today is his funeral. The two things overlapped, and I didn't want to have to... to cancel out and not have no one come. I'd ask that we all rise and remember not only my uncle, but many of the other residential school survivors who will not be seeing compensation. I'd ask that we please rise for a moment of silence. So it's been an incredible journey this past year. And I'm reminded of election night, January the 23rd, 2006. To be quite honest, I got in the election knowing that I'd lose. I ran in the election to show hope to my people, to encourage them and to inspire them to get involved in the political process of Canada. And in doing so, I was able to not only see huge numbers of First Nations people come out and vote. It was huge amounts of numbers. I didn't care if they were voting for me or the Conservatives or the Liberals. Mind you, I think I was the only candidate who got votes from every single member of all parties. And at the end of the night, I looked back, and I was able to remind myself about the incredible sacrifices that I made. The $1,000 to get on the ballot. The money it took to go to various debates. And it was all worth it. to debate with Ted Menzies, Thomas, the Green Party. I tell you, it was like debating Stephen Harper, Paul Martin, Jill Duceppe, and Jack Layton. They all had pieces of paper in front of them. Me, all I had is just what I had in my head. My opinions, my perspectives, my reality. Now, I didn't prepare any prepared text for the speech today because I wanted to be upfront, truthful, and bring you the reality of First Nations conditions as they exist. And when I was first asked that I come and speak, I thought, well, what could I do? What could I talk about? You've obviously heard a lot about the historical aspect of when the first settlers arrived here in Native North America, so I won't get into that. But I would like to slam down some myths that Canadians have towards First Nations and First Nations rights. Many Canadians believe that we have a free ride. Not true. Many Canadians believe that at the age of 18 we get thousands and thousands of dollars. Not true. Canadians believe that we, in every sense, and in a letter that I received over the election, we get free handouts to just become lazy Canadians living on a First Nations reserve. My friends, the only advantage I have over you is that a Mountie gets dressed up in his uniform, comes to my reserve, gives me $5. That's it. When I turned 18, I wasn't told that I was getting money. I was told that I'd have to pay money to pay and stay in my mom's house. It's on rent, of course. She wouldn't cook or do my laundry for me free anymore when I turned 18. The reality is my people are struggling. We're struggling against harsh realities, the harshest that you could ever think. And I'd like to get personal here, not to get pity or anything like that, but to show you what kind of struggle I've had to face. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. I've been so for 2 years now, and it's been hard. At the same time, I suffer from depression, fetal alcohol syndrome disorder, and schizophrenia. So you could imagine the amount of barriers that I'm faced with every morning I get up. To get up and to go to school is difficult because I'm scared of people. Believe it or not, but I'm scared of people. And every day I tell myself, Myron, you can do it. You can make it through this day. And although I shake on the inside, I go to my classes. I learn. I write. I read. I've just told you the struggles that I've had. And could you imagine having to live such a life? While at the same time, I live in a home where food isn't always available. Before I got my bed from my grandma, I slept on the floor with just a blanket and a pillow. And to get inspiration for the speech, I thought that I'd spend the day walking around Moses Lake where I grew up, talking to different people. And I met a group of people from all walks of life, old, young, really young. And perhaps one of the most moving moments was the one that I went to in a house. They were drinking hairspray. And I had something in my hand so that they wouldn't give me or offer me anything. And I got the sense that they had no hope in their life. No hope for anything. And I walked around my community for the entire evening, thinking about the days when I grew up and how hard it was. We'd find food wherever we could. And how difficult it was to not have a structured home or a place to be where we could feel safe. But you know what? I grew up. I'm 23 years old. But inside I feel like I'm 88. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd go to Ottawa. I remember the first time I got to ride on an airplane. I was more excited than sick. I got to meet the Prime Minister of Canada, the one that doesn't talk very good English or French. I've been to the United Nations, where I spoke on the floor of the General Assembly for 5 minutes about my work on the reserve, helping youth. I've been to Jamaica. And I keep telling myself every day, why is it that I've been able to do such incredible things in my life and in my work? March 15th, 2006, I celebrated 12 years as a volunteer. 12 years. I started when I was a young kid doing youth groups in the Moses Lake to help combat gang violence, poverty, addictions. And there was no celebration on that day. I spent that day in my reading my books, my journals, looking at pictures. You know, we see a lot of First Nations reality in the media. We see people suffering. We see people, of course, suffering through addictions. We see a government that's not governing. Basically, what the Conservative Party is just, they're just occupying government seats, campaigning with free media. They're not doing anything. I ran in the election. I told people we'll get the same old things, and we're getting the same old things. I was truthful on that. And I'd like to mention that I would be a member of parliament for free. You wouldn't have to pay me. I'd do it for free because I think it would be the most incredible job. Now, there's a lot of things that we got to do to fix the system. First of all, we got to stop throwing money at the problem. It's basically throwing gasoline on a fire. Money is not solving anything. It hasn't solved my problems, it hasn't solved any problems in the community. Mind you, there is money needed. We need to pay people who are sexually, physically, mentally assaulted in residential schools. I mean, if you put yourself in their shoes, wouldn't you want some compensation yourself? And today my family is burying somebody who won't be able to see that. We need to put more money to educate young kids about the devastating effects of fetal alcohol syndrome disorder, because no longer should we have children growing up in such conditions. I look at myself. No kid should ever have to go through this. Native leaders have to stop being lazy. They need to stop complaining and start developing solutions. When I read the newspaper, when I go on the internet, I don't read solutions, I read complaints. And I offer some of my own. We need to develop an agenda of hope in the 21st century. Try hard. Try our best. We need to stop feeling that we are entitled to money when we in fact should be working for it. I was telling my sister the other day and members of my family, I'm the only one who of my generation goes to school and works. I said, we suffer the same disorders, we have grown up in the same circumstances, and I wish I had your life. You don't have to do nothing. You each could just sit back and live. But then I think about those dreams I had when I was a kid, of being a lawyer, an honest politician. And I have been an honest politician. I know that's an oxymoron, but I'll stick to it. I'd also like to mention that my dreams are becoming a reality. I do the work that I do not because I have to, but because I want to. I want to become a lawyer. I want to help motivate my people to make solutions, to build a good, positive reality. The money that is currently flowing to First Nations communities, we need to see more accountability, transparency, good management. We need to know where this money is going, where every cent is being spent. First Nations leaders cannot simply accept a check and expect to not have that check be recorded. We need to build an economy of our land. Currently, there exists allotment, a process whereby the Minister of Indian Affairs provides a piece of land to a certain individual for their use and benefit. If we are to build anything, and I speak, for instance, on the reserve, we need to do away with allotment and put the reserve back in the people's hands and start irrigating that land and using that land to create funds of our own. And the invincible hand that Adam Smith wrote about in The Wealth of Nations, I believe, will be born on the Kainai Nation. And we have to start developing modern forms of governance. Now, oftentimes I've been called an Indian who's acting white. And it does hurt because I grew up in the community. And it hurts because I know a lot of our traditions. We need to get rid of this mentality that an Indian kid reading a book is acting white. Because I'm not acting white. I'm First Nations. I'm a proud Blackfoot man now. I was a boy yesterday. I'm a man now. And we need to develop governance models like the ones that we have currently in Canada. And I developed one for the Kainai Reserve that would see the reserve split into six districts. And each district would elect one council or two councillors to sit on the chief and council. But there would also exist a people's assembly to act, and I'm going to use this word very carefully, and I'm glad no one has food, and if you do have food, do not throw it at me, a senate. But these people will not be paid, but they will do work. These people will essentially be like me, looking at the decision-making, the processes, and the activities of the Band government. Nothing is working as it exists today. And we see that in the communities. I saw that when I walked around my community that evening. There was no hope. Leadership, I believe, is about inspiring people, bringing hope to them, and telling them that they can do something with their lives, not giving free stuff, not complaining. We need to start building a reserve and a lifestyle where we can be dependent upon our own selves. Because we have a new generation that is being born. I'm an uncle to three adorable nephews. They are always asking for money, and they oftentimes get their hands in my pockets. And I think to myself, gosh, I wish I could see these. I really wish they would grow up faster so I could see them. But then I remembered that it is a process. And that childhood is a process in which you are to enjoy life. See heroes and develop dreams. When I was an 11-year-old kid, I dreamed of doing great things for my community. And those dreams are coming true. There's a lot of business talk, economic development. And the only thing that I have to say is what we're doing at this certain time in our life or in our business is we're trying to build business and economy in quicksand, on quicksand. Businesses cannot prosper if there is nothing already existing in place for these or for these types of business to prosper. And my concept, my theory of an economy of the land would be the foundation upon which these businesses could prosper. If there's farmers irrigating the land, ranchers having animals on the land will need more businesses for, excuse me, I have a cold, so I'm thinking in my, I might be repeating myself. I've been suffering from a cold for a week now. That the economy will slowly build. We got to stop doing the Band-Aid solution and get at the root of the problem. And when we elected a chief and council, they promised us much. I haven't seen very much. We had a by-election, and I tell you, I found it quite funny when I was still running in the federal election and people were telling me to run. I thought, well, I was still on that message that I am going to win, you know, pretending, but here I have people telling me to run in another election. If there is one message that I can send to First Nations leaders, is you got to walk the talk, stop complaining, bring hope to the people, and start bringing solutions. If there's one message I can bring to other leaders, it's that you will not make decisions for us. You will not get involved in the affairs of our wants and our needs. We can do that on our own. You will not develop models or manuals or acts upon which we are to govern ourselves. If we want such things done, we will do it ourselves with your help. And if there's one message I could send to my people across Canada, it's that hope is coming. Hope is the thing that'll get us by. It's the fuel upon which we will prosper and make our lives into what our ancestors dreamed about. I hope I answered some of these questions. Again, I didn't prepare a prepared text because, well, I just missed the final. I have to redo a final for university. And with the funeral and with my illnesses, you could imagine the amount of struggles I get in one day. But like I tell my doctor and everyone who tries to help me, thank you so much. And I'm joined today by somebody that I recently found, my grandmother. I call her my white grandmother. And she is the nicest lady who I've ever met. And that's not, you know, it's not racial or anything. It's just what I called her when I was young. And she's brought new hope to my life. Because every day I suffer the pains and the turmoils of my handicap. But it's people like her who make me believe that there will be a better tomorrow. And when I become a lawyer, that better tomorrow will exist for me. In closing, I'd just like to thank you for having me join here. I was quite surprised when I was asked to come speak. mostly because I'm 23, I don't think of myself as very smart and get very intimidated when smart people are listening to me. But at the same time, I realize that I've had experience. I'm still going to attempt to run for the leadership of the Liberal Party. Again, I'm thankful no one has any food in their hand right now. And I would just like to mention that I'm the only declared candidate who's been a Liberal for more than 5 years. But I have a dream, like Martin Luther King said in his speech, that my people will be free, that our reserves will be dependent upon themselves, and that hope will spread across our land like the Chinooks and like the wind, and that the great visions that my ancestors saw for our future are a reality. Thank you very much.